Hey, welcome back to the show. My name is Joe.
And this is Carolyn.
And you are in fact listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show, the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's good. We're back from Richmond, Virginia. We just got back from Virginia Comic Con.
Exactly. And you know what? I thought we would do something special like we did with New York. What do you think? We had a panel there at Virginia Comic Con.
Well, we also did have a panel at New York Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, that's very true. My fault. But this was our very first convention ever at Virginia Comic Con. It was great. It was also the 25th anniversary.
Yes. So, and they had costume contest, and James O'Barr was there, the creator of The Crow. It was very awesome.
So we thought we would take this moment for you guys at home to enjoy our panel again, like how we had like in New York, but this time it's a small press panel that we had exclusively over at the Virginia Comic Con.
Yes, enjoy this recording from October 30th, 2011.
That's right. It was a blast. It was pretty crazy. It was a lot of good energy going in there, but have a ball, guys. Have a ball.
And a biscuit.
And a biscuit. Take your little sweet time of...
That managed to make it. There's literally dozens of people here. I'm gonna try and speak loud because there's a lot of people here and they're talking over. My name is Dan Noakes and I'm running the small press section of VA Comic Con.
Good job, by the way.
Yeah. It's awesome. Great, like, there are so many people here, and I'm so proud to be a part of this. Yeah. And I'm going to have everybody introduce themselves, starting over here to, I'm guessing it's my left. It's kind of directly across from me.
Because I'm sort of straight across, yeah.
Mystery guest, will you please identify yourself?
Hey, my name is Joe Carabeo, and I'm the writer for Curl Studio. I do Black Magic Tales, The Leggettes, and Kid Roxy.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Moving down to Mr. Guest number two.
To my left.
To your left, yeah. I'm Ben Taylor. I'm currently writing the Dog's Life comic, the storyline Bark to the Future, of which the man to my left is the artist.
That would be Chris Otto. I am drawing and the creator of A Dog's Life, which you can read on the web at adogslifecomic.com.
I will speak for the next guest. He's kind of quiet. he might not be entirely sober. I'm not sure. He is the spokesman for Spokes Chicken, Chicken of Thunder. I myself am Dan Noakes. I am writer of such great titles as The Paranormals, The Pistoliers, The Reptile and Mr. Amazing, and my current book, Adam and Eve, Bizarre Love Triangle and the Zombie Apocalypse. And finally...
Did that intro remind anyone of Troy McClure from The Simpsons?
Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
Remember such comics as...
You remember me as such a...
Sorry.
Titles as The Erotic Adventures of Hercules.
Sorry.
And wrapping it up, the female presence at the small press.
Well, I thought that was
Other than Chris Otto.
I'm Carolyn Bilevsky. I am with Curl Studio, and I do the webcomic Curls, which you can read at curls-studio.com. And I also am the artist for Kid Roxy, Black Magic Tales, and The Leggettes.
And just to update what's going on, more people are coming in as we speak.
They're just flocking.
It is to capacity in here. I don't believe it right now.
It's standing room only. It's
thousands of people in this room right now.
It's at least more than one.
So this is mainly just straight up small press conversation.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Anything about small press?
Let me say right now for the next 15, 20 minutes, Marvel and DC do not exist.
Exactly.
It's all about the small press.
Well, it's funny you say that because I actually think in the future that, you know how people are, there's that separation of like, oh, I love indie, oh, I'm web, oh, bigly mainstream. I think that digital is just going to wipe that away, sir.
Yeah, because, absolutely.
Because we're all stuck with, I mean, Marvel and DC are what's stuck with one distributor, right?
Yeah.
And now they're now leaking into the digital online field.
I wholeheartedly agree. I was just having a conversation. It's like, there's no way guys like us can make money with not even Diamond, but like guys like New Haven and other small brands, like, because we get such a small cut. Yeah. We can't even make our cost back and like on paper.
I feel like the sad truth is those guys who work for Marvel and DC, they're not raking in millions either.
No, it's a strictly, that's a pay-for-hire deal. And like, and some people can make good money off of it, but in whole, it doesn't work out for that kind of structure. Meanwhile, the online presence is such a low cost to maintain that.
Yeah.
Plus, you can make money either through selling advertising space, much like a television format, or through merchandising. If you like, it's a shame that a guy, Chris Flick, who's pretty much he's the Capes and Babes presence. Isn't here to tell you more about that, but some of these guys have, I mean, I'm probably the least knowledgeable on the web stuff, so that's why I'm glad to have all you guys here. let's have Chris Otto.
Yeah,
how do you make a buck with a webcomic?
Before we go any further, because we do have an audience, maybe we should define what we see as small press.
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to like, Marvel and DC, grr, arg.
Yeah,
let
me go on record saying, I am not against these guys. Marvel and DC is, especially Marvel, Jim Shooter era, 80s comics were why I got into comics in the first place. And I'm sure that's everybody else in this room had a mainstream comic that inspired them to get in.
And let's be honest, Dan. Yeah. If they knocked at your door saying, listen, we need you to do...
Oh, I'm worrying myself out.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to put your
foot down. You can't really talk bad about them at all.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's kind of like the episode of The Simpsons where they go, it's like, oh, there's a horrible people. I'm so sorry. It's okay.
Yeah. Second Simpsons
reference.
Yeah. In like 5 minutes, we're going for a record here.
I'm sure there's like, is there a guy from Guinness right now? Yeah, let me remind, there's so many people in this room right now. We're
everyone's keeping track of all the Simpsons references.
There's a big counter on
there's
the back.
There's a man in the back. He's got a pad.
He's got one of them little clicker things.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So
what's our definition of small press?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy because I feel like it's changed.
Yeah.
Small press, indie, underground. It's just like, how they changed the name of punk. They were just morphed.
The other thing is indie has come to become something that isn't indie. Because you now have indie publishers.
Exactly.
Which completely defeats the point. It's people, for me, small press is people who write their own work, draw their own, and they self-publish
Self-creators, self-publishers.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Self-distributors. I mean, I'm a one-man company,
My benchmark is when you get to a point where you have your own team that just promotes you, that you have a actual other people you can delegate authority to to promote yourself. You don't have to do it. You just, there's always a legend, everybody came in here at your first comic, basically like a stack of your books, a couple pens, a pad of paper, and that was it. No tablecloth, no display, no nothing. And it's the goal of every indie guy by the end of it to full circle back to that point. Where all you got to come in with is a couple stacks of books and that same itinerary.
It's funny because we were all at Intervention Con earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And one of the guys from Intervention Con was running a panel called Why Did Your Webcomic Fail? And he had this huge diatribe about, story, blah, 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 blah. And from it's about what you want out of the webcomic. Yeah. Are you drawing your webcomic to make money? Wrong business. Yes.
No, you have to love what you're doing. Yeah,
I'm still very much in the paper one. So.
If your goal is to make money and your name isn't Scott Kurtz, get out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if your goal is to have fun,
eventually you might make something out of it. But if you want to make money, go get a day job. Be an engineer, being a doctor.
Go work at McDonald's.
You'll probably wind up making more money than your average student in a con. I do it first and foremost because I love, I love the medium. I love using my words and pictures to tell stories that are festering around in my head.
Yeah.
Also, like when defining what small press is, like Carolyn can even attest. We've been to SPX like for several years and. Karen, would you say like it changed just the presence of?
Yeah, I feel like also overall like online publishing, you can get your books done for a relatively low price point. Digital printing, just in the past few years, has grown tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
So
print
it makes it so much.
As well.
It makes it POD. It's like it's basically makes it so easy. Really, you just basically upload PDF at this point.
There are local Yokel shops that'll do print on demand. It used to be like, was it Comic Express was the game in town, and I'm unfortunately, I will go on record, I'm not a big fan of comics on demand. Or the guys that tend to specialize in that field are well, not necessarily.
And now there's, like, you do a Google search for, like, book publishing, and there's, like, 15, 20 websites to choose from. Yeah. And that's just the ones on the web. I mean, you could walk into, like, a Kinko's and get a book made now if you want to.
Yeah. So that's like not
that's
a problem.
That's like half of SPX
publishing,
right there.
Publishing made this isn't a problem anymore.
Yeah.
And even like 10 years ago, you'd have to go to like, you know, an actual printer and they had to, you know, it just would cost like $10,000 just to print a run of your books. And nowadays you can get a like, you can get a whole bunch of books done for $200 or $300.
And you don't even have
so
to meet your printer. You know? You might never come into face-to-face contact. Yeah. It can all be done by email now. It's just literally, oh, okay, this is reasonable. What's your schematics? Okay, fine. And you don't even have to deal with the paper copy. It's literally just transmitting your entire stuff to an FTP site.
Like there are entire comics now that are never on paper before the book comes out.
Yeah.
With your Cintiq tablets and your...
Yeah. The iPad is going to be huge.
Like,
for
you go,
comics.
Like, that's why I like people like Dave Kellett and... Yeah. People that still draw their work and scan it in.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, personally, I still do a lot of stuff by hand, with the exception of maybe lettering and some cleanup editing stuff. And I feel like the Williamsburg historic old world craftsmen.
Historical Williamsburg,
You're like dipping your candle several times.
But you like to I can do a healthy churn milk, Sonny. I could do at least four of these a day.
Another benefit of doing stuff by hand, though, is you have a strip that you can take to a con.
Yeah.
Or you can sell online. Yeah. I have an original strip of every strip that I've ever done that I can sell. Yeah. Whereas if you do it digitally, you can sell a print, but you know.
Yeah, although there is a market now for those who, with the electronic, strictly want electronic copies. They don't even want the paper copy of whatever you do.
Yeah, because I bet, like, because I guess one, you sell the original and that price is going to be, of course, more than just the print.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like just today's market, no one's really trying to spend a lot. So they'll be like, okay, this is.
Yeah, the original art market's kind of tanked in the last couple of years.
I mean, look at the walls. Look at the walls, like in this hotel. It's like these aren't the real paintings, but they still bought them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
These aren't even really good paintings.
It's not bad.
But also,
I mean, it definitely looks like hotel art.
Yeah.
But also, like,
is it like elevator music?
When you're at SPX, and for a couple of years, I just noticed that now everyone has these. They're making their own companies.
Yeah.
And then now that it's going to start being more on the web, it's sort of like these presences are going to become bigger.
And you're hearing a lot more, like you guys, you are Curl's studio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are 21st century
studios. Yeah, we would have been laughed at
Blind
for saying
Ferret
that.
Studios. Right. Like, don't get me wrong, not all these people do brilliant work, but it's artists getting together and working. And
The Iconograph guys.
The Iconograph guys.
Four guys, they put out a lot of stuff. It's Iconograph.
The 20th anniversary print.
Which,
and that's what Marvel and DC were in the beginning. They're just like, hey, let's Marvel, or I don't know what they got DC, but that's how it is.
Yeah, DC more morphed. Marvel to a certain degree, but it began with the bullpen. Ditko, the Kirby, basically about half a dozen go-to guys, and Stanley and maybe a couple other small other writers.
There was no other writer than Stanley.
everything. He came in and he cleaned up at night.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
There's actually, what you don't know is there's actually seven of Stanley. Six of them are frozen. It's like Walt Disney.
Right.
They're just going to thaw them out when we're done.
Yeah. I was thinking the original Stanley was killed in 62 when there were four other Stanleys that took his place.
I remember.
Now there's just one Stanley that just goes to cons doing pictures.
Yeah.
And runs really fast.
Yeah.
Met this man and he took off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, bam.
Yeah.
He's a geriatric dynamo, folks.
Something away from Stanley's athletic prowess. I would actually admit that I'm not a big fan of the title Small Press.
Me neither.
I think you should be artists.
Yeah.
So that's what you are.
Yes.
Well, what happens if you reach like a breaking point? Like, for example, we mentioned Small Press Expo earlier.
Yeah.
Someone who used to always go to the show is Jeff Smith. And he is a one-man band at one point, but I know now he has employees, and you know, it gets to the point where there's so much
video
stuff.
Video games.
Yeah. And like, but are you still calling him Small Press? But I feel like he's like a Small Press king, you know? So would you consider him Small Press now? I still do, though, because he built his empire.
He, at the very least, is sort of more like a patron saint for those trying
He's like that guy who, I want to be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Which is good for a place like SPX to have, because
one of the things I think we were lacking at Intervention was that name,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, Intervention was a great show.
Yeah.
But
a lot of their guests I've honestly never heard of before the show.
And that's not a bad thing because they all do have their own fans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's, you need, and speaking as
you
someone
need a Stan
who,
Lee.
Speaking as someone who has worked at Baltimore, New York, DC, yeah. Orlando, on the backstage, like, you need that name to get people through the door. Yeah. So those people that come through the door then are exposed to something like that.
Yeah.
So like here, you have James O'Barr,
right. yeah.
who is another one of those.
He was indie when indie was in that transition between underground and
when indie was underground.
Yeah. Yeah. We have guys that were actually when it was underground. Yeah. Like
they were drawing in bunkers.
Yeah.
Well, if you were seen with a comic, you were going to get your ass kicked hard.
Is the brand Small Press, is that something you guys want to stay with? Or do you even care at all about the name of Small Press? Because you know there's people that are like, no, I'm always going to be Small Press.
See, this is something else, and this comes from this show, and I'm sitting here in a Virginia Comic Con t-shirt saying this. I don't like the Small Press room. I think it makes you guys sound like, ooh, second-class citizens.
Sort of like, oh, we're
sitting in the back of the bus. You know what I mean? Like, these guys aren't good enough to sit next to Greg LaRoche or Herb Trimpe.
So at the major cons, you're more content with the Artist Alley moniker?
I love Artist Alley.
Artist Alley is great.
Love Artist Alley.
I do like the term indie. Indie is still pretty cool with me.
If it's used correctly, but now you have like publishers for
that's true.
There is a publisher out there that is literally publishing like 20 indie books. I'm like, is that really indie?
You still have your own press corps going out there. It's like, here, check us out.
Anything besides DC and Marvel and like maybe a few other studios, like
that
is indie.
I'm going to say that everything is freaking indie because you know what?
Yeah.
Marvel is indie from anything else. You know, they live in their own world. How's that?
That's the definition of the world independent.
Just because they're bigger. Well, does that make them, that's more mainstream, but they earned that.
Yeah, that's true.
How many years are they in there?
Very true.
So you tell that to someone that's like, I'm going to be indie forever. All right, let's see you in 75 years.
Yeah, right.
See how big you are.
I'm going to be indie forever. Hi, my name's Dan Didio. Here's a $400,000 check to draw me Batman for the next 3 issues.
Maybe that's what I when I do think of indie, I do think of you are making your own
book.
And then you have Marvel is making their own book. They just hire other people.
But here's the thing is, this is something that came through a panel that we were on yesterday, was the next generation of fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bringing the next generation of fans in, indie is going to mean something completely different to them than what it means to us.
Yeah.
So, at what point do you have that break where, okay, indie now means this, and we are now neo-indie
or post-modern, ironic
indie.
Yeah, I see where it's kind of like the same terms of like where people use the term alternative music these days. It's like,
other song I was just listening to?
Yeah, it's like, dude, this is on MTV and it sold 7 million copies. How is this alternative?
Alternative to Top 40.
Alternative to Justin Bieber?
Right, it's not Justin Bieber. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you're already a step in the right direction. Yeah.
Bieber's alternative. Look at that. It's like a little
kid. No, if you want to put it this way, I will stand up for Justin Bieber on this issue because...
Get out!
Oh my God, the crowd of thousands is turn on Carolyn. It's horrible.
You want to know something? Oh, He's one kid, that put his music on the internet.
Yeah.
Noticed by Usher and Justin Timberlake. We are doing the same thing
with
our books and our comics.
My point isn't, but the thing is that wasn't about Justin Bieber being, he didn't make it. It's just like, he's now shoved down. He's the Brian Michael Bendis.
It's everyone else trying to squeeze the money out of him.
Speaking of Justin Bieber, interesting fact. Did you know the guy that directed Justin Bieber's concert movie is directing G.I. Joe 2?
Really?
Yeah.
See, there you go. It's linked with comics.
Is it the 3D movie?
This was about Small Press at one point. It's now devolved into Justin Bieber and
Don't
G.I.
ask
Joe.
Me how I knew that, okay?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, something that is Small Press can reach the millions.
I think at this, because like, you know, I did a shoot where we're shooting at like little kids' schools, like we're shooting a commercial there, and they didn't even want to touch like real books. They just had the iPads and that's all they wanted.
Yeah.
Like, We're not pressing anything. Yeah. Just like that's what I'm saying. Like the kids that are coming up from like what, like second grade to sixth grade.
The
like
kids that are just, born with an iPad in their hands.
Yeah. Let me ask the audience a question quick. How many of you guys had a cell phone when you were 5?
Yeah, really.
How many of you guys had a cell phone when you were 10? All right. There is a 3-year-old that lives next door to me who has an iPhone 4.
I believe it.
I'm like, I still have an iPhone 3.
Oh, I guess. So what are you guys going to, I mean, well, how do you see that happening? Are you going to adjust the way you present? Are you going to stay digital,
I plan to produce my first book sometime over the next year, and I plan to do a small print, maybe 100, and also to sell it digitally.
Yeah. That seems like the best way.
Well, I also think that at least the 5 of the people sitting around this table are slightly ahead of the curve, because being in that webcomic medium, we're already distributing digitally. We're just not charging for it.
And take that to the next level. I feel that, like, even that term webcomic, just adding the word web is just going to be abolished.
It should be already. I mean, because it's the term now. Oh, he does a webcomic. No, I draw a comic.
Yeah.
I can show you the paper comic. Yeah. I draw a comic, it's distributed on the web.
Yeah, it's just a different production method.
Right.
At this point, I really do want to have these guys be able to have any questions.
Yeah,
answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You with the beard.
Yes, you.
So,
it's so hard to pick up on this credit. It's enormous.
Comic, like, I've been thinking about it for a long time.
Okay,
do it.
I have no motivation for this. So,
neither do we.
The honest question is, do you really want to do your own?
Yeah. I do. I just have, like, I can never focus on anything.
Okay.
So I'm just like wondering, like, what do y'all do?
I say do a little bit every single day. You have to make some sort of progress every day.
Right. Yes.
The other thing is not every webcomic is a plot.
Yeah.
There's a very good webcomic out there that I love called The Book of Biff, which just has one main character, and it is one thing a day, and it's just gag a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can start with the page, go with the page. If 8 pages is comfortable for you a month, go with that. Just try and get a momentum going. And another thing I would suggest, at least have several, if you're going to do like the multiple page thing, have at least a few of them plotted out and ready to go in advance if you're going to try and keep some semblance of a schedule.
And the best thing you can do is just set a schedule and stick to it.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You know, I said, when I started my comic, I said, you know, I'm going to publish. I started out 4 days. I've recently cut back to 3 because just too much.
Your wife's pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah. That's okay.
But I said I'm going to publish every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I have consistently put out a comic.
All right.
Okay. Yeah,
so here's,
make a work schedule for yourself.
Yes, because if you say you're going to do that, and you tell your fans you're going to do that, and then you don't do that, they will go away.
You know what you need to be? You need to be a drug pusher. You need to be a drug pusher.
Woo! Comics.
You need that comic for your person to go, I need to see that book today. Absolutely. I need my fix. It's the same with creating YouTube videos, getting famous on YouTube.
Right.
It's the same with anything.
Yep.
You have to get your readers to a point where they're like, I cannot have my day without seeing my fix of blank.
Right.
You need to be consistent. You need to be... If you can't be consistent and if you can't keep to a schedule, this is the wrong business for you.
Right.
And if you don't enjoy it, if you don't love it,
I'm going to say right now, I am the biggest sucker in the room because I don't watch TV anymore. There are YouTube. I'll sit down at my computer to eat dinner and watch this one guy on YouTube play through video games because he is the funniest dude I have ever seen. They're games that I would want to buy, but I'm poor, so I'm just going to watch him play it, and he's funny, right? It's about that level of I have to be there. So you may only get one person at first, but then you may get 3, you may go up to 5.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone starts somewhere,
right?
But you've got to have that.
Like, that's what I think my motivation will be. Like, once people, like, see my stuff, I think... It'll be like the avalanche effect or something.
Yeah.
I'll just get motivated and just keep...
The thing is, starting is always, like, the hardest part.
Yeah,
and once you get going, I mean, like, I always equate it to exercising. Like, if you're, like, an Olympic athlete and you just stop, then your body's going to decline.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like once you've already done, like... 50 strips, you're like on a, you're like basically like a little demon will get inside you and just start creating them for you, and you just want to keep going.
So where do you get one of these little demons? I will eat that thing right
now. I'll sell one to you for
$40. They have everything.
You just gotta actually, like, just keep making them, and then, like, the urge will be, like, that you don't want to stop.
Right.
Like, there'll be times when I have to make myself go to bed so that I can wake up at 7 o'clock to go to my job
in
the morning.
Yes, exactly.
I'd be like, it's 3 a.m., you know, I should get some sleep. So I should get, like, at least 5 hours of sleep. I have to make myself go to bed now.
And that's the other thing, especially from the writer's standpoint. I have to make the stuff in my strip, the words, be equally as good as what's coming out of the artist's hand.
Yeah.
Right?
In our case,
if you want to say, why did your webcomic fail? 99.9% of webcomics fail because some dude was like, I went to art school. I can draw really awesome images. I'm going to do a webcomic. Yeah. And you read it and you're like, I don't give a crap about this character.
Yeah.
I hope he dies in a fire. Yeah. Right? Unless that's the point of the comic and the guy is going to die in a fire. I'm just saying. But you've got to A, be doing something that you love, because this will ruin your passion for that item.
Yeah.
Once your passion becomes your job, it's not your passion anymore.
Yep.
Unless you are that fanatical about it.
Yep.
Right? Back to the Future is my second favorite movie of all time. That is why I chose to parody that. Not because, it's going to make me money, but because I wanted to homage something I love. Right? And I will always... I'll even enjoy this... the movie more because of what we're writing.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're doing like a completely brand new webcomic, get characters you love, get a situation you like, but don't be afraid to evolve them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The worst thing you can do is have strip one and then in strip 75, the characters are in the exact same place.
Yeah. Right.
There has to be evolution. If you can't do that, just draw me some pretty pictures.
Yeah. So from like a writer's perspective, you almost have to have part of your mindset into an audience perspective. It's like it has to excite you as you write.
Right.
I mean, you have to be excited about what you're writing, or else you're just gonna, it's gonna become work, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's the best way to survive.
Any other
questions, comments? Tom, is it?
Let's talk about money, guys.
Talk about money. We'll do that real quick.
Yeah. Or what is right now? I mean, there's different business models happening, but what do you think is the best way to make a living off of this? That's what people want to know.
I think
right?
It's rough because
it's a concept. What would you, if you were just to pitch an idea, a business model, and say, like, listen, okay, so I'm going to do this, a comic, and then we're going to do conventions and make money off of that, or we're going to make shirts. Like, what do you think is the best way for people out there to know?
Press button, give money.
Yeah. That's the most efficient one. It just cuts out the middleman right there.
Like, promoting, should people really be go out promoting, or should they stay home? Stuff like that.
Like I said, we're in a state of transition right now, so it's really...
It's probably the hardest question to answer right now.
That's why
you are, because you are going through that transition where... And I really hate to say these words because print is dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I physically hate myself for buying a Kindle. No, because iPads didn't exist when I bought my Kindle. But I have literally run out of space for books in my house. So I have to go digital, right? I have no choice. But I feel dirty every time I pick it up. But, like you said, those three-year-olds at that shoot, you were like, give me a damn iPad.
They know nothing else.
That's how you were raised.
What are these rectangular things? It's not bright and shiny.
Yeah, and they're going to think that books are just like the stupidest things ever.
They do think they are.
They're going to just think...
It's the way we think of like people who wrote stone carvings on wall scrawlings, you know?
As far as money making goes, right now, if you do a comic on the web, advertising is the most consistent way to make money. If you people come to your site, you make a penny. You make a couple pennies.
Yeah.
That's the way to make it right now.
Yeah.
And you're not going to make, unless you're, you know, Dave Kellett and you've got 500,000 readers.
Penny Arcade, something like that.
Yeah. You know, the big guys, you know, you're going to make beer and pizza money.
Yeah. And what's wrong with that?
Do you still need to feel the need? Like, just the if it is moving digital, do you feel like, are we going to see less conventions? Or are we still going to see more conventions? Like,
I think we will see.
Conventions will be the same. People eventually have to go
there's
out.
A difference between There's a difference between seeing conventions and seeing conventions where people are selling things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was a really interesting experiment about 6 months ago where they did an online convention.
Yep.
You bought a ticket. They emailed you a link and a password, and you could get into Skype conversations with creators. And so that maybe that's why. But I am always. I don't care if. Now this is just me. I read say Sheldon Dave Keller every day, and I have spoken to David on multiple occasions over his live stream. But if he's going to a convention, I want to go and shake that man's hand.
Right.
I want to see the dude in person. Yes. That is one aspect. The other aspect is we right now making money from a webcomic is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
There are many bad webcomics out there that make people money. Then you have people like you said, like Chris, like the Blue Milk Special guys, yeah. like
who, Flick, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are on that cusp of we could be really big or die next week.
Right.
Like the Blue Milk Special guys had their website go down for a month. And in a webcomic environment, that could close down your comic. I gotta go get a job. I gotta get another job to pay for my house. I gotta do it. And that stall is just, I don't know. Conventions are here to stay.
There's, yes. Yeah, there are so many people in webcomics now that that saturate the market. And you have to do something to establish yourself. Separate yourself from the pack.
And I don't come to conventions to make money. I come to conventions to meet new readers.
Yeah.
I want to hand you a flyer. I want you to go home and read my comic. You know, if somebody wants a sketch, I'll do you a sketch.
I like making money is nice.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't want to make money, okay?
That's not the reason
I'm here. Make money, that's gravy. That's awesome. But I'm here to promote my stuff.
And the other thing is, this is especially prevalent at Intervention Con, it's about meeting the other creators.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Especially from... Yeah, it's great to meet you guys because it really is nice to meet the people that read our stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I agree.
I can now go to this guy and go, so what if you were to try doing this with your book? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And just talk to people. Like we went out to dinner at Intervention Con with a bunch of webcomics guys. There was like Chris Flick, other guys that do Snow by Night and...
Dawn was there, yep.
And we literally sat around a table with a couple of beers and we just talked about how to webcomic.
Yeah.
And you pick ideas out. And that's a whole other aspect, the social aspect of a convention.
Absolutely.
The information exchange, the social exchange.
I mean, hell, this is me. I had dinner and breakfast with Larry Hama. The dude created G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Right?
Bucky O'Hare.
I'm just saying. Did you hear about his deal on Bucky O'Hare?
No, I didn't.
He got 25% of the revenue from Bucky O'Hare.
It's a good deal.
That's why creators don't get much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One guy ruins it for everybody else.
Him and Michael Golden,
let's go hang him now.
But yeah, I mean, conventions are a whole other animal.
That's a lifestyle now, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it's about making that face connection and the emotional connection with other creators and your fans. And also like just emotional connection is important in your strip when you're writing your strip anyway, or any type of comic. People, like we were talking about earlier, they want to be connected with the characters. So it's just another level of like, you know, real person connection. And I think like internet's great, but people are always going to want to meet people.
Do you want to know me as Ben Taylor or do you want to know me as Bob T. Goldfish 447 on your forum.
Right? Attach a name to the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's why I really think that while digital medium is the future of comics, it's conventions will not change. And stuff like this, these people sitting in this panel room making us feel important. Right? We literally are sitting here talking to a room full of people about something that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Speaking of
love me.
Speaking of these people, should we see if they have a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, does anybody else have a question before we wrap things up?
The whole world.
I would like all of your websites and etc.
Swing by the small press room. I'm sure we all have flyers and cards and stuff.
Well, these are you guys still in the small press? You get moved into the main.
No, we're still.
No, yeah, they're right next to me.
We're in the
small press room.
We're in the small press room.
For the audio listeners, again, I'm Chris Otto, creator of A Dog's Life at adogslifecomic.com.
Yes.
And you can check out curls-studio.com for the Curls webcomic and everything else we do.
I'm still Dan Noakes, as far as I know. You can check out all my stuff at www.21sandshark.com and also my upcoming collaboration/children's book with Nick Davis called Unconditional, A Teddy Bear's Tale.
I can't
for me,
for
just go to the Google search and type in Jack Kirby. That's all me.
This guy.
My name is Will Eisner.
I'm Darwin Cook, and I'm going to ruin Watchmen.
I am now Michelangelo. I created the Sistine Chapel.
By the way, this is Sunday. I made this day the...
So do you guys have any questions about maybe even anything that isn't small press? I mean, you got some pretty knowledgeable people up here. You want to pick our brains a bit?
I think we're out of time.
We have 10 minutes. It says 34. We've been recording for 34 minutes.
Yeah. So. Okay. I think they got people gathered outside now for the next show, unfortunately. So don't worry
about
them.
They're out there. We're in here.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, we're going to pull a CM Punk here, and we're just going to stand and drag
them
out.
They'll have this lecture room when they pry it from our cold, dead hands.
I'm taking over, okay? Occupy VA Comic Con. I am the 1%.
We are the 1% creator.
I'll ask a question then. For the people who are doing their first show, do you guys have any, like, their first time at a convention, behind the table?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any advice for them, like, what to look forward to for the rest of their life, stuff like that?
This will be, your first convention, for the most part, will be the most optimistic you will ever be on the con circuit. Ever.
Yeah.
Basically. From there, it's sort of a roller coaster ride of enthusiasm, sorry, I'll pronounce that right. And probably mild bouts of depression.
Yeah. I was actually terrified the first time I did a con because I had no clue if I could draw in front of somebody because I had never done it before.
Right.
And I was just terrified that every sketch would come out Michael J. Fox drew it because of the shaking.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Katz.
Bad joke.
Dr. Katz.
Yes, exactly. It's like, oh, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, political correctness has been thrown out the window.
So I was terrified until I did that first, and it was a little shaky, but it was for a friend of mine, fortunately, so he didn't care. Until I did that and proved to myself, oh, I can do this. After that, it's been, I look forward to them so much.
Yeah, your first con is your ultimate reality check.
Yeah.
The other thing about your first convention is don't expect to make any money whatsoever.
No.
All right? And that's not because your product is bad, but it's because you're not used to being, it's because you're not used to being on this side of the table.
No.
Right.
All right? I was at Intervention Con earlier in the year. That's the first time I have sat on the creative side of the table.
Yeah.
And it is a whole different animal, all right? And on top of that, have a personality.
It helps.
Don't be afraid to talk. And I'm not saying don't be
like this
social
guy over
reclusive.
Here.
Yeah.
But say hello to people, right? Even if they're just walking past your booth, just say, hey, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And that, remember that you say hello.
Right.
It's just, it's little things. A lot of people are like, well, big sweeping changes. DC's new reboot. I don't care about DC's reboot. Give me the small incremental changes that makes my life better, okay? And that's what your life in webcomics is going to be.
And another helpful thing is I organized a panel at New York Comic Con for the past 2 years, and it's called The Other Side of the Table.
Right.
And so you can probably find links to it online because we filmed it for both 2 years. So there's a lot of helpful advice from Jimmy Palmiotti and Raina Telgemeier.
Oh, cool.
And, Riley Brown and Dave Gallagher. Like a whole bunch of really fun, and Carla Speed McNeil. And one other person, Brian J. L. Glass. Yeah. So all of those people have like lots of expertise. So there's like around 2 hours worth of material you can find online.
I remember for like Carol and I's first convention, that was one of the first things we realized that was tough to do was first not just being one of those guys that literally just sit there and just draw and never look up. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It was like, oh crap, we have to like say hi to people. You know, we have to talk to them. They're not just gonna, these people aren't gonna buy your book by literally just looking at it. I mean, yeah, sometimes, but yeah. But you gotta pitch it to them.
Yeah.
There's always that image in your mind that you're going to a convention. You're gonna be the only guy there, and yeah, like you're gonna be that first show. You're gonna be discovered, and oh my, it's like a reality show come to life, and everything's gonna take off. And then, like I said, it is your ultimate reality check of how much work you're actually going to have to do to get you minimally noticed.
How's your pitches gone? Like, have you guys changed your pitches?
I still have yet to perfect a pitch. It's just not coming.
Depends on the book for me.
It's hard.
Are you comfortable at this point? Like, for all these, you're like, yeah. Because I find I adjust my pitch for the person.
I do too.
Like, I love your hat. You know, there's a hat in my book.
Yeah.
That's about reading people, and that's a skill you learn later. Yeah. Don't be afraid to be funny, but don't take it too far. Mm-hmm. Because there was a dude at Innovation Con who was just released his first book. And I'm walking down the hallway, and he jumps out in front of me and goes, "Give me all your money." And I was like, "That's pretty funny." And he's like, "No, seriously, buy my book." I'm like, "No." He's like, "No, buy my book." I'm like, "Dude, you move or I move you." Yeah. And this dude was like 130 pounds soaking wet, right? But it's just like, be funny, because to quote Pulp Fiction, personality goes a long way.
Yeah.
But don't take it too far.
Yeah. And I feel I always try to take in consideration what it's like to be on the other side of the table, like coming up to someone. Because these people who go to conventions, you know, we've been there. It's like so overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
How can I focus on this one book? That's the challenge. Is you give them their space, but not too much space.
Right.
Don't be afraid to exercise your plus one. Yes. Every person who goes to a convention as a guest, you can bring a friend.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to do a commission, have your friend sit at the table and say hello to people.
Yeah. Have that friend with personality. At this point, there is a large gathering mob and security.
I think I see a couple of torches.
I have to be the guy that ends it on a bright note. I'd like to thank everybody that showed up. I'd like to thank everybody on the panel.
Coming. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Virginia Comic Con.
Woo! Woo!
Cheeked out.
And there you go, guys. That was the Small Press panel. It was pretty crazy, live from the one and only Virginia Comic Con. What'd you think? It was pretty nuts, right? There's a lot of good energy out there. Our very first show.
Some really good advice, and we hope that you take it and create.
Yes, take it and create, man. Take it and create.
See you guys next week.
Yeah, see you guys next week. That's all for the show. Stay positive. We'll be right back.